Hey, this is Zach from Coheed and Cambria, and you're listening to the All Things Coheed podcast. Cool. All right. Enjoy.
Welcome home to another episode of the All Things Coheed podcast.
I'm Devin.
And I'm a guy named Rob.
I messed up the timing on that. Anyway.
Yeah, you did. Devin, real quick, though, before we get into what we're here to talk about, because this was dropped on us out of the blue, right? We also have to mention that we are missing our podcast co-host who hasn't quit yet, Cindy, who was unable to join us from this beginning part for this. She really wanted to be here, and she really wanted to talk about it, but she's just been a little busy. We had to start a little bit earlier because we're going to be catching the Claudio live stream at the end of this, and depending on what comes out, we might add an addendum onto this episode at the end based on what we hear. If not, then, you know, whatever. But I'm really happy to see you, Devin. It's nice to record.
Too, man. Yeah, this is awesome. Unfortunately, we really don't have much time to talk about anything other than the new Coheed and Cambria song that they dropped on us with like 3 hours of warning.
And those are great words to hear one after another, right? New Coheed and Cambria song. It's just music to my ears every time I hear it.
Also, literally music to your ears because we got Rise, Nianasha, Cut the Cord, the new 5-minute single from Coheed. It's an awkward length. It's not really like a short song, kind of like Shoulders. It's not really a long song like The Dark Sentencer, but it's like a good length.
Yeah, so as we delve into this track, you know, suffice to say, Shoulders was awesome, and that was a really fun episode we did on that. This is for us. Your good Apollo people are going to be very pleased about this one. And as we get into the track, we'll talk a little bit more about that. But this is, I mean, they're going back to their roots on this one, I feel. How about you, Devin?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, immediately you're hit with a guitar riff that absolutely rips. Some of the proggiest drumming we've heard in a hot minute, kind of similar to Shoulders with the guitar, but really different in terms of that percussion there, for sure. Claudio has like these quick vocals in it. Then we get some Willing Well, like copy-paste beats in there. The chorus is power. I mean, this song has it all. Like I said, they gave us 3 hours of warning. They dropped it at midnight EST, Wednesday, November 10th. And with a lyric video with concept imagery in the back. Oh, I don't even have the freaking words.
I was just about to mention that concept imagery. It doesn't feel like a lyric video because lyric videos, you know, like we got for Prizefighter Inferno and stuff like that. It's like very, you know, oh, here's the kind of the vibe of the track. And then Coheed is just like, that's very funny. We're going to go ahead and put the concept in the background here. And it's clearly concept. Like you get symbols of, you know, Haas, and you have Nia and Nostrand there. So we know they're back again. And we have some characters that may or may not be named yet. They may not exactly say who they are, but we can kind of guess it may be a little boy we might call Vaxus, okay? And that's super exciting. Super exciting. I mean, I'll be honest. I listened to the song, and the first 5 times I was like, it feels kind of disjointed. I'm not sure where all the parts fit together. And then, like, from play 5 to 500, it's like, this makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it dropped, and Alyssa and I listened to it. And we were both like, whoa, this is a journey. And then I listened to it again with the video. And I was like, I had to put my phone down after it. And I was like, I need to attack this tomorrow. This needs my full attention. We'll talk music first. We'll talk actual music and then we'll talk concept because there's so much to unpack there.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk music then. It feels layered in a way that the vocals feel like from one song, the drums feel like another, and then the guitar part feels like another. But after listening to them all together, it's perfectly layered. You know, like the singing feels like it's almost on the offbeat, like it catches you off guard in the verses. In the chorus, everything kind of comes together. But the beginning, it feels, I mean, disjointed is the only word I can really think of that perfectly describes it for me. But it's really cool. It's really cool, Devin.
It is really cool. I mean, like I said earlier, the chorus of this song is super, super strong. It's really easy to sing along to. And it kind of acts as a one-sided conversation between father and son, very akin to Atlas, where Atlas is about anxiety and protection. This song is about being out and being prepared for what happens without parents or on your own.
Yeah, I'll take Claudio saying baby boy every day of the week, to be completely honest. It's a really interesting way they looked at it.
So, with the chorus, there's also about 30 seconds later, I believe, at the 1 minute and 31 mark, the lyrics are... So, we will talk concepts in a little bit, but those are some pretty powerful lyrics. I usually rely on you and Cindy to pick out the good ones, but aside from the chorus, this is really what stuck out for me. I mean, having to tell your son or your child that one day you're not going to be here and they need to be prepared for it. And then the little bit before that, I think, is a little concept heavy, but we will talk about that in a minute.
The forever you want is the never you'll get when you learn that you're going to be so alone. Oh, when your mother and I go, but you've got to believe, you've got to be strong for her. That's one that did stick out to me.
That part of the song is so different from then, you know, a minute later, where you basically get all these throwbacks to back to Act One. You get like the part of the song feels like It Walks Among Us or True Ugly. And then you move into a part that's the summation of, like, the Willing Wells, All on Fire, On the Brink, and The Dark Sentencer. The first time I heard this song, I actually had to laugh because of how freaking cool it got in the middle and towards the end. And it just kind of, like, cuts off really abruptly. Then you get that filtered Claudio vocals with a piano that is kind of like the piano part of Old Flames. They're really just creating a universe where everything, like you said, is kind of disjointed, but in a way that it fits and it works really, really well.
Let's talk a little bit about musical themes here and, you know, motifs and things. Specifically at 3:10, there's a bit of a breakdown, right? And it's the with the O's in the background, the O. Immediately people are saying, oh, you know, Willing Well because the drums and stuff. But those O's, actually, in my opinion, if you go back and listen, it reminds me of Domino in the whoa. If you could recall one moment of your past. That whole line there, everything there fits perfectly with that area of the song, which I think is really interesting. Because yes, I do believe it's good Apollo heavy, because as it moves on from that part at 3:10, there's also this moment of as father told son in the make of his spot, you know, that whole thing. The drumming in there is perfect, because all I can think of is run little rabbit, go high in the blades of that grass. Run rabbit run, butter-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Anyway, it fits really well with it, which is like, I do want to say that it's interesting that they pull from those particular songs on this track, okay? As far as a concept goes.
Okay, I will say, I know we kind of like really ran through this song really quick, and it's not only because of Claudio's stream is happening in like 30 minutes, but because I think Rob and I both really just want to talk about the concept, because that part is just, there's so much to go through. But the last thing that I really wanted to touch on was that 4 minutes and 32 seconds, we get the lyrics. Which not only reminds me of the back end of Forever, Over and Out Connecticut, but the harmonies of I'm Your Great Destroyer takes the track to this new level, and it kind of ups the energy. And Zach absolutely dominates it on the bass here. The man is just going ham on those strings. And then the final repetitions of Cut the Cord are met with rising O's, and it just ends in such a great way and has you wanting more. But to go all the way back to the beginning, the first note of the song, if you listen very, very carefully, it comes with a faint ending of what sounds to me like a synth chord. And I believe that this song is either in the middle of like a suite, if you will, with the rise of potentially a new character. And that's where all this concept goodness starts to ooze out like a beautiful peanut butter sandwich with...
Devin, I'm tired of the peanut butter. Tired of it. I'm sorry you're wrong, and I'm sorry you're so hurt about it, okay? I'm just telling you right now, I'm sorry. You said the line, okay? You said the line that I want to talk about more than any other line in this entire song, okay? When he's talking about being the great destroyer, okay? Being his great destroyer. And here's the thing. Listening to the song, if you don't know concept and have like a deep love of this stuff, it's easy to assume, oh, this guy's going to destroy this other guy. I think, personally, it's kind of like your right hand, you know, the person who will destroy those to protect you. And clearly, Nostrand loves his son. You know, this whole song is about how much he loves his kid, right? At least that's what we can assume. From what we've seen in the video and everything, we have images of Nia and Nostrand, and they're looking over a small child. And we already know that they both have a kid named Vaxus. It's kind of the whole point of the story. So to say it's a far jump to think this is Vaxus is it's not true at all, okay? It's an easy jump to make. Devin, let's talk about this concept, okay?
So you said the Great Destroyer, right? Now, I don't have this in my notes. It kind of just clicked for me, but the world's the cracked worlds from the Great Crash, the Great Destroyer. What if... You know, this is a nod to Claudio or the crowing, you know.
Okay, you be quiet, because I have that in my notes.
Okay.
Be quiet right now. In my notes, I have the crowing prophecy. Okay, so also known as the prophecy of the Son of Three, here are the passages we have. He has listed a few titles, okay? The Lord God will send his messenger, his good right arm, his ultimate judge to determine the fate of heaven's fence, and the ultimate judge will be known as the crowing. And you know what? It talks more about beware the coming of the crowing, for the end of the world may be at hand. Woe betide all those who live upon heaven's fence, for the crowing's judgment, once done, cannot be undone. His will be power and be the power and the passion, the fire and the ice. And that's heavy. That's heavy stuff. But that's what this reminds me of, is not he's talking to his son, which at this point in the concept, you have to believe he knows he's seeding his child as like a ruler, because he's talking to his son. He's saying, I'll be your great destroyer. I'll be your right hand man. Anyone who tries to hurt you or anything, I will be there to defend you if you can help me make me that. you know, and that's a beautiful concept as a father. And so when we were talking to you, because I was talking to you earlier today, a little bit about how you feel about the song, in regards to Atlas, I think is really interesting. However, I don't think it's as dark as one would assume. It's more about, it's like a deeper love than saying I'll be there for you. It's I'll be there for you and I'll kill anyone who tries to stop me, kind of thing. It's a deep, passionate love. Like whenever he talks about his love for his child, I'll bring up the lyric again. Don't you cry, it's you and I in a do or die overboard. Now cut the cord. It's he has a wife who also loves his kid very much, but this no strand is like it's you and I, you were the one I love. And there's something that happens when you get married and have kids, is your feelings, you would kill your significant other to save your child. There's a moment in that is abundantly clear. It's weird, and you know, parents out there will totally understand, but I definitely feel that from No Strand in this song.
That's some pretty heavy stuff there, Rob. And you know, Claudio is obviously, we've seen him get deep before, so I wouldn't put that past the actual meaning of the track. I can't necessarily relate, you know, I don't have kids, and unfortunately
yet.
Never. I empathize with the feeling, and I kind of saw the song going in a different perspective, in a different way, if you will, because the video shows some new locations and designs, but also some ships that may or may not be jackhammers or Red Army Velvesses or whatever, maybe left over from years past. We also see what seems to be a potential new villain with a golden planet gyroscope behind them, and the golden panther statue is also in the room. And this assumed villain has other individuals in a room, and they pull up a video of what I believe to be Vaxis in a spacesuit. Now, there is a lot of sun and planetary imagery in this video, and maybe showing maybe that's them showing the systems that are controlled by Haas. The video then shows whom I believe to be Nostra and Anea overlooking a bedridden Vaxis, as Rob said earlier, accompanied with the lyrics, "Silence your tongue, divide your lives, and gift us all your love. Your day has come, open your mind, and do what must be done." Then we see medical scans, what seems to be a lab with maybe a four-armed creature in a medical pod. Then the camera zooms in on Vaxis again. We get some weird Borderlands New You imagery, which, if you have not played Borderlands, is what happens when you die and come back. You see this weird imagery. It's very similar to the one that we see in the video. And then we see another computer with a progress bar that hits 100% with a transferring complete text. The next humanoid character we see walks with their back turned to us, and then we see it, a full robot, like an AI iRobot kind of vibe. Then after a few seconds, we see an array of robots facing each other with some words flowing by, such as coding, computer, and artificial intelligence. The last image of the video we see is a character in what seems to be a spacesuit overlooking a beautiful swirl of blues and purples. Did we watch Vaxis turn into an iRobot? Was that Cyrus Amory at the end? There are so many freaking questions. The video is campy. They give us so much, but so little. I love it. I was going crazy all day.
Devin, you're wrong and I've cracked the code. Would you like to hear it?
Yes, please. Hit me. I need some rebuttal on this.
Devin, I pulled so many freaking pictures from this. It's stupid. And if you go on Claudio P. Sanchez's stream Discord, you'll find them all. But I pulled a bunch of pictures and I think it's really interesting. A few things I want to note. They do some world building here. You see a lot of streets, you see a lot of buildings, you see a lot of ships, and you see a lot of soldiers. And it looks like a bit of an army base, okay? And there is clearly a medical base somewhere in this army base, because we see, like you said, Nostrand and Nea looking over Vaxis. However, there is an image of a orange sun-like thing, like almost like they're pulling power from it. And there's rotating around is this like sun ball. Okay, And it is floating outside of the city, and it looks like they're pulling from it. There are these strands of light, four strands of light being pulled from it. And that's really interesting, because what we see next is we see a man with a single eye glowing inside of a weird, like, birthing pod tube. Maybe frozen, who knows? We see cracked worlds that are on fire, much like what we saw in the imagery of Vaxis Act 1, like a ton of it. We see more ships. Some look exactly like jackhammers, which is crazy. We see a vandalized trash can that says assassins everywhere, with plants on the inside of a glass protective shield right next to the trash can. Go ahead and mark that, because that's important in my theory later. Okay, we also see what looks to be these weird like priest-like creatures that are all in armor, sitting around a table looking at a golden image of what essentially looks like the thing that we saw earlier, that was the star in the middle that they're pulling power from, right? Really weird. We see a golden panther just chilling, just vibing. So we know that these people are bad because they have a golden panther. I mean, how else do you tell someone something's bad? They're sitting and looking at something, but for a split second, Devin, and this is where your theory falls apart with the spacesuit. We see the image of Vaxis inside of a spacesuit with his head coming out of the top in front of a monitor.
Right, Devin? Right. So that's what I had too, you know, like we're up together until this point. I took it one way, and it seems like you're taking it another way. But what I kind of the lyrics "divide your lives" kind of makes me feel like Vaxis took all the energy from the keywork. He has all.
Hang on a second. Okay. Because you have to also keep in mind what's on the monitor behind him. We see on the right-hand side a circular-shaped blue glowing orb, okay? In the next scene, we see ships arrive to a blue glowing orb sitting there. And now, correct me if I'm wrong, I think that these people are sitting and watching Vaxis go to this blue orb, okay? We see it kind of pulsate and like explode next to the ship, next to the ships. You can see it kind of the star itself blowing up, right? And at that point, we see Vaxis inside of a standing next to or laying in the bed across from Nostrand and Nia. We see his vital signs, and then in the bottom left-hand corner, I found it incredibly interesting. It says useranonymous.code.a. To me, there is a play button in the middle of the screen and a stop button, but to me, that tells me genetics, it tells me mutation, tells me something is being introduced to this person, because the next shot we see is a shot we've already seen, which is a glass tube, this time not next to a trash can, but with a glowing green plant on the inside. It's just there. It's just there. And they put it right after they show Vaxis laying in bed and showing his vital signs. At that point, we see a progress bar, like you said before. I think this isn't out of order. I think that Vaxis is being changed genetically in order to gain abilities to become seated in the universe. That's what I believe. And I think it has something to do with the keywork. And I called Cindy because I couldn't remember, but it immediately, when I thought plants have only been shown one other time in the Amory Wars as something important. Do you remember what that is, Devin? Think hard.
I mean, I would say back in Year of the Black Rainbow.
Who messed with plants a lot?
Pearl. Pearl messed with plants.
Pearl messed with plants a lot. And what did we get out of that?
Syringa. Oh.
What did we get out of that?
I was going to say Pearl's death. But anyway.
We also got viruses. Certain viruses introduced to iRobots to change them. Possibly, since this is the first iteration of iRobot, they also gained abilities.
I need to stop you right here. A certain moment, on a certain boat, a certain first chapter of a certain book was read. And
I know, I talked to Cindy, she told me.
They did happen, the characters in this book did happen to rob some place for some vials of something.
Listen, at first my immediate thought was Monstar virus. That was immediately my thought, right? Monstar virus, it lends credence to what happened with Josephine and having that introduced in her body, with the cure, and, you know, Coheed and Cambria carrying it in theirs and passing it on their children, quote unquote. But I think that this has something to do with it. If it's not, there is a creature in the background of the plant image, okay? This creature is frightening looking and glowing with a blue glow. And there are only a very few creatures we see glow with a blue glow in the Amory Wars, Devin. What if, to seat them as the power in the universe, they seat him knowing the most recent power in the universe being the mage, the race that can manipulate matter that's not mentioned in the Gonsgrad, the most powerful beings that could take over 78 planets, that could fight the resistance and die and be reborn without an issue. That would be very interesting to introduce to a human host. So that's what I think. That's, at the end of the day, that is my theory, is that they're turning him either into whatever Coheed and Cambria were, because Cambria had the special powers and everything, telekinesis, or they're turning him into a mage.
I am going the iRobot route, but Rob, from this 5-minute video, we have talked for almost 30 minutes about all of this. The song is only 5 minutes. The video is only 5 minutes. But there is so much to unpack, and I'm sure that when we watch it again after this, or Claudio's going to say something in 10 minutes, that immediately we're going to be like, oh, all of that is moot. But this has been a lot of fun. I really enjoy being able to do this again with new Coheed. Oh, it feels so good to say.
Devin, I completely agree with you. With that, I also want to mention there is one other image that we couldn't pinpoint who it was. There's one image, because we see the faces of everyone at the table, except we see one person who is not in traditional garb, who is walking on a desert-like planet in front of the sun in the very beginning of the video, who is bald and staring at a red sun. Now, Devin, if I were a betting man, to see someone stare at a red sun and be surprised would probably be Cyrus Amory.
Ooh, okay. Okay.
Because that's what he's looking at. There's nothing else in that image, but he is staring at that red sun. The divergence of the, was it sector 7, whatever it was, of the keywork, whenever it went off and became 9 planets, they had a red sun, but Cyrus was born and lived before that ever happened. So,
Rob, we need this book, brother.
I'm telling you. If I'm right, oh God, it's done. I won't shut up forever.
It's over. I mean, I had to pick up my tinfoil suit and my tinfoil hat from the dry cleaner earlier, so we're doing well over here. But before this video concludes, on a completely different note, I just have to give
this video,
this podcast.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, it's a video for us, but seriously, I do have to give a quick shout out to Zero Trust. They played their first show this past weekend in New Jersey at Debonair Music Hall. And for those of you who are unfamiliar, Zero Trust is Travis's new endeavor. He plays bass. They're signed to Equal Vision Records. You got Zach Thorne on guitars, BJ Allen on vocals, and a couple other members of the band. They absolutely crush it. It was a great show. They're all awesome dudes, and I don't know when they'll be performing again, but if they do, and hopefully when they do, if they're by you, definitely go check them out for sure.
That's it, I think. Make sure to hit us up on socials. We are coming up on our, what, fourth year anniversary? I don't know. Third, fourth?
I think we're
here. We've been here a long time.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you guys so much for listening to crazy moments like this, because this episode is going to sound like a real fever dream because we are so excited and we're also on like a weird time crunch, but an exciting time crunch. Just so much. It's a good time to be a Coheed fan. And if you can't hear it from our excitement, then I don't know. Maybe we aren't doing this right, Rob.
Maybe not. But you know what? We can at least plug our Discord, the All Things Coheed Discord. But a lot of us have been hanging out in the Claudio P. Sanchez Discord, and we always recommend going there as well. If you want to talk Vaxxus, it's kind of going crazy in both Discords right now. But come hang out with us in Claudio's. Come hang out with us in ours. We'd love to see you there. That aside, I think that's it. Oh, hit us up on Twitter. All Things Coheed. Turn those E's to 3's because that's how we do it. And
Also on Instagram.
I want to say keep an eye on stuff because we may or may not be doing a giveaway at some point.
Oh, we got stuff to give away, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah, Devin.
Let me tell you. It's going to be a surprise, but...
Save it for the main episode. We'll talk a little bit more about that, all right?
We got a cruise episode coming up. Listen, this is just a mini-sode, y'all. We were really excited to talk about this song. We hope you guys like the song. Please reach out to us. Let us know what you think. We are genuinely interested because, you know, we kind of rock with everything just because we're excited. But, you know, I definitely understand the differing opinions in the community, and I respect the differing opinions. And you should respect your friends' opinions in a manner where we are all kind to each other, because that's what this community is about. No one's in this community to talk shit or get shit on. So much love. In the words of our friend Andrew Burford, got to give a shout out to my man. Have a great evening, everyone. This has been another episode of the All Things Coheed podcast. I'm Devin.
And I'm a guy named Rob. Thanks for joining us.
Deuces.
All right. Yeah, the stream's starting.